you want to be part of the program, participation is welcome. You can do that by sending us an email to gardentalkradio@gmail.com. That's gardentalkradio@gmail.com. Or if you would like to talk to us, you can do that as well by giving us a call on the Proclamation Hotline brought to you by Proclamation Goods. That number is 1-800-927-SHOW, 1-800-927-7469.
Proclamation Goods creates cookware for the eco-conscious home chef. Their pans are non-toxic, have a lifetime warranty, and are made in Wisconsin. Their award-winning stainless steel Proclamation Duo cookware set is a 12-inch skillet and a stock pot that doubles as a wok. Best of all, the skillet and stock pot hinge together to form a Dutch oven. It's two pans with the versatility of 10, empowering you to cook more with less. If you care about your health and strive for a more sustainable lifestyle, then Proclamation Goods is for you. Supply is limited, so order yours now at proclamationgoods.com.
And we want to thank Proclamation Goods and all of the sponsors you've heard this year and you are hearing this year. These are companies in which Holly and I have reached out to advertise on the program in order for us to achieve the financial goal of paying the airtime that the station that you are on costs for us to hear, for you to hear us. So we reach out to them. We have criteria in which we have to, they have to match, and they sponsor us, and they are good products. Otherwise, we wouldn't waste our time having companies advertise on our program if we didn't back them the way we back these. Right, Holly?
Absolutely.
So, talk about trees, or you got anything else you want to add to that?
No.
Okay, let's
talk. Ready for trees.
Ready for trees.
You said it well.
Okay.
Okay, so we want to talk about which trees are best for you on your property. So we're
this will vary by location.
Yeah, it would vary by location, but we're referring to residential neighborhoods typically if you have a home in a,
right,
in a regular residential type neighborhood.
Right. We're going to go over what zones these trees predominantly grow best in. So that is a key factor on what will work for you if you're in southern Tennessee in zone 7 or you're in northern Wisconsin in zone 3. Makes a difference here. So keep
Absolutely.
That in mind.
So the first one we have here is a paper birch. Birch trees are, they make an impression quickly, even before they're fully grown because of that white bark. It is a fast-growing tree, and it can reach up to 60 feet tall, but it doesn't take up a lot of width of space.
It's very vertical and compact is what you're referring to.
Correct.
And if you're like, I think I know, if you search paper birch, you would know exactly, oh, yeah, I've seen that. I know what that is.
Correct. And it is a striking tree, and it's easily recognizable, and maybe you have some memories of a birch tree.
Do you have memories of a birch tree?
I do.
Do you really?
Yes.
Can you briefly share with all of us what your memories of a birch tree, paper birch tree, is?
Yes. My friend and I would go to this local park when we were teenagers or preteens, and we would climb this birch tree and sit at it and just have, you know, preteen chit-chat.
The life you lived.
The life I lived. We would ride our bikes there.
Oh, okay. Yes. Well, we will have more story time with Holly after the break. All right.
Don't promise people that. They might want it.
Yeah. Have a whole show of your stories. All right. What's the next one? Is there anything else we need to...
It grows in zones 2 through 7.
Very compact, very vertical. Doesn't take... Canopy is not wide. So it's a good thing if you've got limited amount of space, but you want some of that shade and leaves.
And maybe just a pretty white white bark tree.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Now, let's look at dogwoods. Dogwood trees are a popular tree that will it's popular in most portions of the United States. It's a flowering tree that
I think a lot of people know what the dogwood tree is, but they don't know, if you know what I mean.
Like, uh-huh.
You might be, when you look up a picture of it, it does have these beautiful red foliage that occurs before the fall, and a lot of people may have seen one, but they might not realize how that it's a dogwood, essentially. So that's the dogwood tree. They do have a nice lush canopy, which is appealing to a lot of people. It is a larger backyard type tree,
right?
So that's something to keep in mind. If you do have a smaller backyard and you want to grow a tree, this might not be the best option.
Zone 9 and cooler, or 9 and lower, they are a cooler weather crop tree. They like cooler environments. They don't like the tropical environment.
Right. The saucer magnolia, this one has the really bright pinkish purple saucer shaped flowers in the spring. And this one grows about 20 to 30 feet tall, not as much of a canopy. So it is kind of like the birch tree where you have some height, but it's not as wide in its footprint, essentially your sky footprint. And it does put on those beautiful flowers, and that's zone 4 through 9. A little bit limiting in the zones, in a sense, but still a wide range.
What a good rule of thumb is, if a tree says, or a plant, a perennial, says that is good for zones 4 through 7. I would not recommend purchasing that plant if you're in zone 4. I would make sure you were in zone 5, so you had that cushion, that you weren't up against that barrier of, oh, I'm in zone 4. If we get one of those weird winters, it's going to drop really cold and could kill the plant. So if it says 4 to 7, I wouldn't buy it unless I was in zone 5 or above.
Or you could even contact your local university extension to ensure that purchasing a tree, if you are on that line, that bubble, that it would be a wise decision.
Because it all matters if you're in a valley or on a hill. A lot of microclimates, a lot of multiple zones in one zone when you really get down to the scientific attributes of that.
Absolutely. And that's something to keep in mind, is that we may live in a certain zone, but depending on where your backyard is, it can have a microclimate. And you might have a chance for either to put yourself out of the zone, essentially, or bring yourself into the zone. All right. So the next one is Fringe. And I've seen these trees. I wasn't super familiar, but it has these really like feathery white flowers in the spring. And it looks like some type of like fringy material. And these are good backyard trees because they grow 12 to 20 feet. And then they don't get too wide. They grow up at 12 to 20 feet and kind of stay more compact. And that's zone 3 through 9.
Yeah, a smaller, compact canopy, good for limited space. Now, none of these trees that we're going to go over or have gone over would be good property barriers. You would need more of a shrub type of plant for that if you wanted to create a living wall.
And that's typically those arborvitae, yes, that a lot of people purchase.
Not the greatest looking things in the world, but they really close off and prevent, give you a lot of privacy.
But the good thing is that as horticulturists do, you know, different grafting, and they combine a lot of these plant properties that are more positive, there are more choices in shrubs.
So you think like in 20 years, the arborvitae, you'll be able to pick up a red one, a blue one, a purple one, a green one?
I mean, I don't, probably not.
No?
I don't know.
Who's to say why not?
I guess if there becomes a need for it.
Well, we can
put
a Tonka trunk on Mars and drive it around. Why can't we make an arborvitae?
Maybe people don't want that.
Okay.
I don't know. I think they're ugly, to be honest.
Yes, but they are very dense. You're not going to be able to sneak through and watch somebody on the other side. And
they are very dense. Absolutely. Those are our trees that you want to look into for your backyard, for your property, et cetera. And so there's one that I kind of came across that is popular for backyards, but it's popular for
the wrong reason.
Large backyards.
Okay. So not a compact urban lot per se.
Right. So this is the red oak, and people like the red oak because it is really beautiful.
Oh, it has great leaves, and then it has the acorns and all of these other things.
And it houses a lot of animal life. It's good for your backyard ecosystem. However, it does grow. It grows quite fast, and it gets up to 75 feet tall maturity, and it has a very large, wide canopy. So if you have an average residential home backyard and you don't have a lot of space, do not plant a red oak tree. But if you have a larger piece of property and you want a beautiful, long-lasting, faster-growing, magnificent tree.
If you got 20 years, got some property, and want to turn it into a nice reserve.
Yes.
Animal reserve.
Absolutely.
Red oak would be.
The red oak is one. Mm-hmm. And then one tree we talked about to avoid.
Yes.
Is the black walnut.
Right, because of the toxicity. Not because the tree is poison per se, but the toxicity in which the roots emit to protect itself. It has a chemical called Julong, and that will toxify the soil around the tree up to 80 to 100 feet from the trunk to keep it safe.
It's its own kind of defense mechanism.
Yes.
And so if you are like us and you are a gardener, a vegetable gardener especially, this could inhibit your gardening growth. Now, there are ways around it, obviously, raised beds, container gardening.
Straw bale gardening,
et cetera.
But the roots can still go in the ground,
right,
which can absorb that toxicity.
Right.
But you said, well, I cut the tree down. Well, that doesn't really mean anything because there are still studies that show 10, 15 years after the tree has been removed, that toxicity still remains in the soil, and there's no natural way of tilling it out.
Right.
You have to let it work itself out.
But we're talking about planting trees, right?
Correct.
So don't plant a tree that is going to inhibit your goals of growing
vegetables. No, it produces a lot of nuts, a lot of walnuts. If you are looking for trees that will produce a lot of nuts, black walnut is a very good tree to do that for you. But it will prohibit other things. Now, not all vegetables are toxified by that toxicity in the soil. There are a certain caliber of vegetables that will be hampered by that toxicity. So keep that in mind. And if you are moving or have moved or started growing in a new location and you do see issues and you know it's not a chemical drift or an herbicide issue, it may be something in the soil such as there was a tree here. I moved here. They cut that tree down 5-10 years ago. We didn't know that. They ground the stump, but that toxicity is still in the soil.
Absolutely, and those are things to keep in mind. So one thing you want to keep in mind is Walton's. We're brought to you today by our sponsor, Walton's Inc. We know you care about where your food comes from. Canning and preserving your fruits and vegetables is great, but what about the meat? At Walton's Inc., you can get the equipment, seasoning, supplies to make sausage, jerky, and any other meat product your way to your high standards. Do you want to make snack sticks that people will actually like? Walton's created MeatGistics.com, an informational site to help you make the best finished product. Walton's even has a full line of their own meat grinders, mixers, sausage stuffers, etc. to help you go from animal to edible. Walton's everything but the meat. You can use code GROW50 to save 10% off of your $50 order or more and get free shipping. For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.